In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
On this episode of Crown Jewels,
is the Daily Mail Kate's number one stan?
Will Harry and Meghan make a return to the UK?
And we make it rain, tears of joy, recapping Queen Charlotte.
We are back with another episode of Crown Jewels, the elite podcast for the royally obsessed, presented by Betches Media. I'm Lex Nico.
And I'm Samantha Bush. And I mean, we're coming back from Memorial Day weekend, Succession finale, Summer House reunion part one.
Yeah. I did Taylor Swift in New York over the weekend. We had a busy week.
You looked incredible.
Oh, thank you. It was so magical. And like, I'm losing followers on TikTok left, right, and center because I have not been going on and posting. Because I'm like, every time I go on, there's all the like spoilers of the concert and I want it to be surprised. So now I can get back in my TikTok girl era. But like, and then also with Succession, because I was at the concert, I did not go on the internet, which for me is crazy, like Saturday evening or Sunday evening till like Monday morning. I went to the airport early so I could watch this on my phone because I am ridiculous. What were your final Succession thoughts? They are a royal family of sorts.
I know. I am so satisfied with the ending.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it to me was perfect. I thought the season was perfect. I mean, I love that they're going out on a high. I love that they didn't keep the show going, you know, too long where you're like, okay, like I don't give a fuck about these horrible people anymore.
Kind of like Yellowstone.
And also like with the Game of Thrones last season, I feel like everyone was so like, we're all so bitter about it.
Mm-hmm.
And like who ended up, you know, being on the throne. And if anyone yells at me about spoiling a show that ended 6 years ago, please leave me alone.
I know.
But so the Succession finale, I just thought was so good. Like it was so well written. I mean, everything about this show I just like love so much. And now knowing who
is the successor
at the end, I want to go back and like rewatch.
I know, and like see if there were any Easter eggs, right? Because it's like,
because there will be.
Yes. And the way that they like weaved the story around the three kids, and like I think everybody's like ending was just tied up so nicely in the sense that like, to your point, I feel satisfied with how everything was tied up. And also there was like, you know, shock and delight and surprise. And it was just all very, very,
like
very
painful.
Well done.
Mm-hmm. It was like painful at times and it was like funny at times. And then it was like heartwarming a little bit to see them like be siblings in the kitchen and, you know.
That
like
was my favorite scene when they were like giggling
so
in the
good.
Kitchen. And this isn't a spoiler. Like they're giggling in the kitchen and I'm like, this feels like three young siblings. Like that's where it's like, I love that they gave us that scene in the last episode of the entire series. Like
the thing with Succession is like everything is done on purpose. Like everything they wear is intentional. Everything they say is intentional. Like there's, so you really have to kind of pay attention and be like really tapped in to what's going on. And there's so many things going on Twitter right now of like kind of tying in past moments that maybe you forgot about that were like Easter eggs for now.
Yes. Yes.
And it's like, it's so good. It's so, so good.
It's like brilliant when you think about it, like the layers, it's just, it's delicious. And I, like,
perfect.
Again, not a spoiler, but I cannot get this one line out of my head. Just going, I'm the eldest boy.
Oh my God.
Like, I don't know why
so
it's like stuck.
Coded.
Mm-hmm. Right? It was very royals driven. And I was just like, this is perfect. Like all of this is perfect. And that delivery was incredible. Oh my God. It was just all around. If you haven't watched Succession, please watch it. Please watch the finale at the very least. Like the writers, I can't get over it. The names, like the intention.
I know. Did you? So you saw the TikTok then, or yes, the video of the girl talking, yes, about, yeah,
the name,
the baseball player. Yeah.
Yes.
My mom had sent that to me because my mom is like very online too. And so, great, she sent that to me like last week. And I was like, there's no way. But like that feels so spot on and like so accurate.
I know. And it's crazy how this woman called this out, and like, good for her. Good for her, yeah, business. But like, these writers, they thought about everything.
I know. Everything.
Everything.
It was so good. You know, all who, right, hasn't thought about anything? People Summer on House? Summer House.
Summer House. I was like, before we started recording, I was like, Sam, we need to talk about the Summer House reunion part one off the top, because like, I just need your sound bites and first thoughts for me on this reunion and how they all hate each other.
So everyone hates each other. Mm-hmm. There seems to be no path forward.
No.
With anybody. And that does not make a good reality show. That's the secret to Vanderpump Rules, is that, I mean, they've fucked each other's boyfriends, girlfriends, you know, they fucked people next to elderly women in retirement villages. Like they've done the worst of the worst, and they all seem to like move on and like,
yes,
kind of bury it for the sake of the show. And I mean, honestly, the fame. And I don't know where they stand now with the Scandoval. What I'm describing is pre-Scandoval. So
yes. But I will say they all hang out together. Like, I was at, right, a gender reveal on Friday. Out. Sheena, Katie, Kristen, Brittany, and Jax were all there. Like, okay, very
flex.
They're all, no, but I'm saying it to the point of like, they hang out
they
together
all really
in
are
real
friends.
Life. Yes, right. Yes. Like, they are a crew.
Yeah. So, you know, Summer House seems to not really understand that. And
no.
I found it to be so frustrating to watch because it was like filled with hypocrisy. And one of the biggest things for me is, you know, Paige saying that Lindsay and Carl are liars, but she's dating Craig.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't
make
a lot of
sense to me.
And they
showed your article.
I know. I know. I know.
They literally showed your article in the reunion. And you tweeted something. Mm-hmm. Carry on.
I did. And I said there was a lot I could say.
Mm-hmm.
Because Paige was accusing Lindsay, first of all, of writing in and giving me that information. And mm-hmm. I can tell you right now, she didn't. And
you heard it here first, maybe.
Yeah, that didn't happen. And Carl and I have never DM'd. Like, I feel like it's just been one sided of me sending him like heart emojis and like, hope you're staying strong, like messages,
so proud of
like,
you.
At, like the dead of night, like so embarrassing. But yeah, so that was weird. And it was frustrating because it's like I don't want to like reveal who my source was, because that's like,
no, of course,
you know, I have integrity.
You are a journalist first.
I'm a serious journalist. But yeah, so that was weird seeing my article pop up. I was like, okay,
there it is.
And you know, watching Paige lie was really fascinating. And yeah, it's just it's frustrating because it used to be one of my favorite Bravo shows, and now it's, same, like I don't even know. It's hard to watch because what I feel like we're watching is different what they're experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
And I tweeted today because, you know, I just have so many thoughts about Bravo, yes, running around in my head at all times, is like one of the fatal flaws of like some reality shows is when they start to get too in the muck with like social media and, mm-hmm, things that didn't happen on camera. And that's all this reunion was stuff that we've never seen, we've never heard. And it's,
we
like,
don't have
okay,
context.
That's not like that fun to watch something that we don't even know is true. And it's like, also, like, it's so.
And that's like, where I come back to the fact of like, they hate each other because they're nitpicking at things that didn't even happen on the show. Like,
or
this is like more deep
ago.
Rooted, you know?
Right.
So it's just like, if you guys want to have an argument, have it like off camera. And you know what? I'm pivoting. The last thing I'll say, like, Summer House, Martha's Vineyard, if you're not watching that, start watching that.
Please. It's great.
We need a second
it's
season
fun, it's
already.
It's fresh. It's
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're here. I'm here for them. For sure.
Gosh.
I know.
Okay. Well.
Anyway.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I can't wait to continue to watch that. Vanderpump Reunion. We're getting that big spoiler. You know. And
I know.
I will always ask. I know that this is Crown Jewels, a royal podcast, but I will always have some time and hold some Vanderpump or Bravo space for Sam, because I eat up everything
we
you
always
say.
Hold space for Bravo in yes. any podcast we do.
Exactly.
It's just the way it is.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
Sam, do you want to start us off with some royal subjects for our royal subjects?
Yes, I would love to. So, like, it's not a major story. It's more of an observation.
Yes, I'm so glad that you wrote this and I was digging into it before we started because I was like, this is a great observation.
What I've noticed is, so if you go to like the Royals page on Daily Mail, it's like overwhelmingly positive stories of Justin. Mm-hmm. If you go and look, there's really not any other story I don't think about anybody else. I mean, of course, they do like their typical throwback articles where it's like, let's take a look back at the King and Prince Philip's marriage, like that kind of article. But most of the current stuff, the quote unquote news, is mainly about Kate and it's all positive. Like, there isn't one article on there that skewed slightly negative towards her.
No, it's none. All about her amazing fashion, how her and Queen Camilla are coordinating. They're getting along well. It's really crazy to see how positive it is. And it leaves me curious.
And one of the things that's really standing out to me is there's this article called From Mignonette to Mama, The Touching Things for Each Other, that show William, Kate, and their young children really are family first and foremost. It's articles like that. So it's really interesting, you know, and then the next one is Kate gets attention with the King's blessing. I mean, you guys, it's so heavy on Kate. It's
the
really
power
crazy.
Suit princess, how Kate Middleton is uses wardrobe to show she really means business. Didn't we all get mad when Meghan Markle first wore a pantsuit? Like, again.
I believe we did.
But like the Daily Mail.
Right.
So it's interesting.
Were furious.
And I wonder again, like, we know about the Royal Rota. We know how this works. And it comes back to the fact of like, we talked so much before the coronation about how with like Meghan removed, they were really throwing Kate under the bus on a few things. And I wonder if, again, it's that sort of give and take balance, because none of these stories are really, these aren't her like going, doing walkabouts, meeting people. It's about her fashion. It's about their home life. It's about her being a mother. It's very deeply seated in like who she is as a personal brand. And I'm like, is that the exchange? Like, is that what we do with the Royal Rota? Are we seeing that play out?
I think we are. Because I've never seen anyone comment on someone's fashions so much. And I take that back. I haven't seen people comment so much on someone's fashion that's so boring.
Yeah.
Like, she's not doing anything like amazing. Like, she's not, you know, a trailblazer. She's literally, I mean, these are things that are on like my Pinterest, like when I'm like work outfits.
Yes. Yes.
Like, it's not, it's Banana Republic. It's like crazy. It's like they're like this.
But it
is,
almost
oh,
feels like they're
bows.
Trying to set her foundation as like a fashionista. Like they're trying. And she, when she first came on the scene, she really was. But it's like they really are trying to like create this moment for Kate. And I know mm-hmm. last week there was the whole pink power suit, Barbie core conversation. And I feel like you and I had different thoughts on that. And I was DMing with Elizabeth Holmes, who we had on the podcast a few weeks ago, because I really did feel like it was intentional. Like stylists talk. Stylists know what's mm-hmm. going on in the zeitgeist of culture. And in my opinion, it's like, let's get her to rewear this outfit. That's, mm-hmm. you know, Barbiecore pink, the day that Margot Robbie's Vogue article, like Vogue cover drops, the new trailer drops. I felt like it was extremely intentional, but I feel like you felt it wasn't.
I gotta be honest, I don't know what I thought.
You're like, I don't care.
I kind of just thought it was ugly. I don't know. Listen.
With the pearl belt?
The thing is like, yeah, that the belt... And this is someone like, I'm not a fashion queen, okay? I'm like a jeans totally. And a t-shirt kind of gal. So, but I know what I like and I know what I don't. And it's like, the thing about the royals and their fashion is they speak so much through their clothes. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you like reading into it, it makes sense. We yes. should be reading into it because, I mean, it's like Succession. You know, when Willow wears the black choker around her neck, mm-hmm. that's a symbol of like her past and how she's bringing into the current. And it's yeah. like, that's the same thing with this family.
There is intention left, right, and center. But I also like when you brought this Daily Mail Royals page to my attention and I saw all this like positive, positive Kate press, I was blown away. Blown mm-hmm. away. And I wonder if we'll see it continue because it's so interesting. Like, again, if you keep scrolling down, that's talking about, you know, how Charles and Camilla feel about her popularity and things like that. And they're like, oh, well, they think she's a great role model and representative of the monarchy mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. And it's just so funny because it's like this history repeating itself in my mind as a spectator of like, we had Meghan being ultra popular and like nobody was happy about it. And I always come mm-hmm. back to the fact that she would have been such a solid asset. And it's like, why are you now recycling what could have been to try and make Kate happen? You know?
I know. Stop trying to make Kate happen.
Stop trying to make Kate happen.
And listen, I like her. Like, mm-hmm. I don't dislike her, but same. I dislike this like media twisting and like, I don't like the Royal Rota is my issue.
Yeah. And it just, now I think in looking at it so much and with such a lens, like, it's so blatantly obvious that it's hard to take at face value.
Totally. I agree.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's get into another topic because this one really, like, I have so many thoughts about this in the sense of, like, thoughts from, like, I don't get it to why to let me die.
To, oh, my God.
Yeah, oh, my God. What the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
So Buckingham Palace rejects a request to return Prince Alemayehu's body to Ethiopia. So Prince Dejach Alemayehu, I hope I'm saying that correctly, of Abyssinia. Oh my gosh.
I'm so glad I didn't take this. I know, tongue twister. I would be ruining it.
Abyssinia will remain buried in St. George's Chapel at Windsor Castle after Buckingham Palace refused a request to repatriate his body. So essentially, Prince Alemayehu's descendants made a request for him to be returned to Ethiopia. But let's get into the history of it, okay? So who was this prince? So he was the son of Emperor Tewodros II of Ethiopia and Empress Teruwerk Wube. His father committed suicide after his defeat by the British, and British forces came to rescue the Protestant missionaries he was holding hostage. So the prince was orphaned when his mother died during the trip to the coast, and the British forces had intended to take them both to Britain, but the prince ended up traveling alone. And he was introduced to Queen Victoria, and she seemingly kind of like not like took pity on him, but like took him under her wing, right?
Yeah. And this is also through the lens of like colonizers. So yes. Who knows if she really did?
Yes. Like who knows what the actual story is? But this right. is the nice story that we are painting.
This is what we're getting. This is the scholastic version.
Yes. And he was 7 years old. Then he went on to be educated in Britain. But then they were saying that he was deeply unhappy due to the racism that he encountered. And he was then sent to stay with his old tutor, Cyril Ransom. But he contracted pleurisy and died of illness 6 weeks later. So he died very young. And Queen Victoria made the request that he be buried at St. George's Chapel, where a lot of royal family members are buried. And so the deans and canon of Windsor are very sensitive to basically repatriate this body because they said that it may disturb some of the other bodies laid to rest in the vicinity. Now, mm-hmm. I have a couple of questions here because I definitely understand that sentiment. But my questions are, how are these people buried that it's going to disturb them? Like, can they not say this is where he is? Let's just extract mm-hmm. this one person. Like, how are they buried? And number two, I would be remiss to not say just in my like, you know, not even bitterness, but like tainted view of human beings that like, they just don't want to fucking do it. They're like, no.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I'm kind of thinking that if they were to return him to Ethiopia, then that would be like their kind of way of like acknowledging mm-hmm. that they did this bad thing and they yes. are colonizers. And they
yes.
they did take a six-year-old orphan to Britain and like tried to make him incorporated in British monarchy royal life. So I just don't think that they want to acknowledge that.
Exactly. And essentially, mm-hmm. like, you talk about sort of, like, this reads to me, and I know, again, they painted it as, like, a very nice story. People Magazine wrote this article, but it's like, so what, Queen Victoria had this little plaything child. He was, you know, mm-hmm. put into this world and experienced a ton of racism, and then he was sent away to Leeds to live with his old tutor, and he got sick mm-hmm. and died. And then Queen Victoria was mm-hmm. like, I want him buried here. Like, I understand that that is very prestigious and that a lot of royal families members are buried there, but it's like...
It doesn't like erase at all. Like, yes. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't fucking matter.
And had he lived, what would have happened to him? You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. Like, what was the plan here?
Yes.
It's so weird. It's so gross. And like them... Yeah, them like bringing him back to Ethiopia and doing all of this, I just think that would just mean that
it's like admitting fault.
They did something wrong.
Yes.
Exactly.
Admitting fault. Who knows if it would open up a can of worms? Like, again, who knows who else they've got?
That's it, Lex. It would 100%, because then it would like open the gates to being like, okay, then all of the museums where you took all of our, mm-hmm. you know, artifacts and everything like that, that
all of the jewels.
As well.
Yeah.
All of the jewels that you've taken. Like, I think it would just become a slippery slope for them. And they're like, yes. We're not doing that.
Yes.
Which makes them look terrible.
Makes them look terrible. I understand it from a business sense, but like from a humane sense, it's insane to me. Mm-hmm. And again, just like another example of this like archaic institution who refuses to own up to any of their, you know, past history. And I just am like, continue to be blown away. It's not the best press story. And they really did a good job of like making it seem kind.
I know. I was reading this People Magazine article and I was like, oh my God, Queen Victoria. Like, what a nice woman.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, she like took him under her wing. And
yeah.
Again, this has been a number of requests to be repatriated have been made by like the president of Ethiopia. And no change has continued to come. So I guess this is not going to happen. You know, I don't know. It's just a bad look all around. But I think, you know, at the very least for the royal mm-hmm. family, it's like the dean and canons of Windsor. It's not the royal family making this decision. So in that regard, hopefully Charles is not feeling too much heat during his self-care week in Tanzania.
I feel like this article kind of like this story is kind of like being flown under the radar a little bit. Like, it's not like a big story. I feel like if it were happening here,
it would be a bigger story.
In America, I feel like it would be a bigger story.
Yes. I mean, you see stories like this and then you wonder why we're talking about Kate's pussy bows and her fashion.
Oh my God. All I heard was the word pussy. It was like, oh my God. What?
No, that's what they're called.
No, I know, but I didn't hear the. Oh, you were, it was, there was you weren't a long, expecting there was me a to lag throw it or out. Something. It was like, I was scared. I was like, oh, Jesus.
Oh my God.
Wow. That would be quite the article, you know.
Mm-hmm. Let's get into one last, because I do want to hear your thoughts here as well. And, you know, Okay. Of course, from time to time, these articles pop up and they're very much like speculation, but they come from somebody, you know, within the royal family, an active source who is willing to be named. And again, it's speculation, but I do love talking about these things just because I'm always curious myself. So a former royal butler claims that it is very possible that Harry and Meghan will move back to the UK. So King Charles's former royal butler has said that this is possible at some point in the near future, and that yes, they may seem happy in the States, but that Harry will always have an association with the UK, and he believes he will not want to sever ties with his home country. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I hate to say it, Sam. I kind of agree. The working royals are all so old.
Mm-hmm. No.
They need him.
I 100% agree.
They need him.
At first, I was like, there's no way.
I know.
And then the more I thought about it, I was like, I don't think Meghan and Harry are going to be the status and like do the work that they think that they would be able to do here. And then I feel like they'll make a change. Like, I feel like Charles will call him up and be like, mm-hmm. Has, we need your ass.
We need you.
We need you doing these walkabouts. We have to do something. And feet are tired. You know, and the kids are too young. Like, Charlotte can't be out there hustling for this family.
No. Everyone else is so old that kids are too young, and there will come a point. Like, this is the other thing. When Wales becomes king, like, they will need more youthful working royals than ever. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Charles and Camilla are in their late 70s. Like, and I know Queenie lived till, you know, her 90s, and they very well may as well. That's a terrible sentence. They may as well. Let's just cut that down. Yeah. But like, we got Charles
but
after
we
the
need
coronation.
Energy.
No, but Charles after the coronation needing self-care week in Tanzania. Like,
I know.
They need rest.
It's hard.
Who's working out there?
King.
Who's working out there?
No one. And that's the thing. I feel like the country desperately, and this is coming from someone that doesn't live there, you know, this is all just how I feel. This is how I feel about America too. It's like, we need someone like young in mm-hmm. leadership. Like, we need someone in a position of power who's like kind of with the program, not mm-hmm. like a geriatric individual. And I just feel like, especially after the Queen's like really long reign, and like the last like 20 years, yeah, she still was working, but it's like she didn't have the same, you know, spitfire
spark,
sass,
spunk,
you know?
Yes.
And then you got Charles, and then you got Anne, and you got Edward. I'm not even counting Andrew because he's not event, in my opinion.
Gone.
So like, what else do you have? And I can totally, totally see them moving back.
Yeah.
Not in like the near future, but like
I would
say
2 years.
Okay.
I mean, this is the thing, right? Like, 5 years, you got Charles and Camilla in their 80s, you know, mid 80s. So it's like, you need them back. And if you like keep looking at this article, author and journalist Tina Brown said that the royal couple would be welcome back despite their longstanding feud with the royal family, as they were a huge asset to the royals and helped them in connecting to the young of England. And it's true. Like, we have said this, despite all of the ups and downs in our opinions of the royal family, Harry and Meghan, Wills and Kate, like, they were a huge asset. Having Meghan in the royal family, with the royal family backing them positively, getting over their like negative sentiment of her popularity, like would be massive. Mm-hmm. And I think that Meg and Harry know that as well. And that's why, to your point, yeah, they're riding high right now in the US, and I'm sure they'll continue to do great things with their businesses and organizations. But like, if they want a little plus up or refresh in their brand and popularity, making amends with the royal family would be a huge story.
I also feel like there could be like a bribe at some point. Like Charles could be like, we'll give you full security back.
Yeah.
If you come back.
They have to.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there has to be something. I can really see them coming back, but.
I know.
We'll see.
And I would welcome it. I'd be excited. I would also love to like watch that live on TV, like them getting off a plane back in the UK.
Succession style.
Seriously.
Getting on the tarmac, barefoot mats and vibes.
You know, Charles is like asking for Harry to come back, and Wills is like, I am the eldest boy.
Yeah, that's definitely something that's been said.
For sure.
Charles probably said that.
Absolutely he did.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That feels so Charles. Okay, Lex, I'm so excited to finally discuss this. So are you ready to make it rain?
I am so ready to make it rain. And I just like texted you last night because I was like, I feel like we have a moment to discuss this. And it is, of course, Queen Charlotte, a Bridgerton story. I want to make it rain on this show because I've watched it now coming up on 3 times. So that's a problem. I loved this show. There have been nearly 400 million viewing hours of this show in the first 3 weeks that it aired.
Yeah.
And like Shonda.
They're all you.
Yeah. Shonda literally delivered. What were your first thoughts on this show?
Oh my God. Okay. So first of all, let me say I loved season one of Bridgerton. When you really talk about what we watched that season, it's fucking crazy, but we were on lockdown still, and like all of us were horny and bored, and
yes,
like, you know, we were ready for whatever.
Horny and bored.
Shonda was gonna throw at us.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Ready.
And so yeah, so it was like, it's kind of like the worst show you've ever seen, but it's also like one of the best. And so the second season, I didn't feel I wasn't like super into it, if I'm being totally honest. So this one, when I plugged in to Queen Charlotte, a Bridgerton story, I ascended. I can't tell you how much I loved this fucking show. Shonda Rhimes is all over it. She wrote this, so she didn't write, you know.
Yeah, Bridgerton. The other ones. She wrote every single episode of this, I'm pretty sure, right?
I think so, yeah. And you can tell because it's giving Grays. It's giving Scandal. It's giving How to Get Away with Murder. I'm obsessed. I like the monologues they would go on is so Shonda.
So Shonda.
It was so incredible. I mean, I loved everything about it. I was obsessed. That's all I wanted to talk about.
The story, the acting. Oh my God. I actually found, compared to like Bridgerton, like the original Bridgerton stories, like this had less sex, right? Like, I'm not crazy in thinking that.
No, it had way less.
But like,
and it wasn't like weird.
Yeah, it wasn't weird.
It was like jerking off in the corner. Like, it was like, this felt normal. This to me was more of a love story.
Yeah.
And more about like honestly, like mental health and like mental illness. And like, I loved the approach that she took in this story where it wasn't, you know, okay, if you haven't watched and you don't want spoilers, please leave this podcast.
Yes, but please turn off the podcast now.
Please just turn it off or just fast forward. Is like, I could cry, honestly. I thought it was so beautiful.
I know.
Her take on it with, you know, the prince or the king, excuse me, King George, was like, yes, he had this, you know,
Mental illness,
but she didn't need to fix him. There wasn't this like need to be like, okay, we need to make him better.
Yeah.
It was like, he is okay like this.
How
he is happy. He is not hurting anyone. It's fine.
Yes.
And I love him. And the speech that she gave her son about love is a choice.
No.
I mean, I was seriously sobbing.
I know. And okay, for some context, because we just went
yeah,
for it.
Yeah, sorry, but like, I just really jumped right in.
So Queen Charlotte in Bridgerton is the queen that you see with all of the like outrageous hairdos. And she's the one that like brings the ton together to decide like the eligible female who will marry whatever eligible bachelor needs to be married that year, right? Mm-hmm. And so we get this sort of juxtaposition between OG Queen Charlotte that we know from Bridgerton and her origin story with her husband. And in the OG Bridgerton, we get snippets of her husband from time to time. He pops in, but we don't see him all that much. But this is, you know, towing the line of based on a true story and embellishment. And so the real King George did deal with mental illness. Queen Charlotte and King George are talked about as one of like the greatest royal love stories because she like, you know, stood up for him and fought for him and had his back. And to your point was like, if he wants to be mad, let him be mad. Like, stop trying to fix him. I love this person. I am committed to them. And we will get through this together, come what
may. And you're hurting him by trying to, quote, fix him.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And so it's just like so well done in how they weave in the actual history or like snippets of the history with obviously, you know, a fictional story. And just the acting, like the chemistry of young Charlotte and young George is off the fucking charts, even before they have sex. Like, like, when he says just George, when she's trying to climb that wall, the first scene they meet each other.
I know.
And then it's the flip when he takes her to the house. I'm just like, this acting, I love how this show brings like these characters or these actors that we don't really know. And you fall in love with them through like the entire series.
It's, I love that we got her origin story because in Bridgerton, like she kind of comes off like such a hard ass. Like,
yes.
You kind of don't know anything. You're like, why is she like this? Like,
yes.
What is
sorrow's
going on?
Sorrow's prayers.
Yes. And you're like, what the fuck? So it's kind of, it's so nice to see her, you know, as a younger woman and her love story with George and like why she feels so strongly about having heirs and everything like that. But then, I mean, I can't talk about Queen Charlotte without talking about Lady Dansbury.
Oh my God.
Obsessed.
Obsessed. I I loved getting the origin story of these people because, like, you see Lady Dansbury and OG Bridgerton and you're like, I like her. And again, like, she got there for me. But at first, I'm like, she's kind of cold. She's kind of scheming and conniving. And then you get so much more, like, empathy for her, understanding that, like, she had to be. Yeah. She literally did that. She was that bitch and was like, my son, the Lord. Like, she fought for her place.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that she's like best friends with like her ex-lover's daughter.
I know.
And then with the crowns, with the birthday crowns.
Okay.
And it was just this like unsaid like acknowledgement.
Unspoken.
Yeah. And it was, oh my God. It really, I mean, that's a love story I want to know more about.
Like, I
know. I was hooked.
Like, give me Lady Danbury and Violet Bridgerton's dad.
Oh my God.
And like, show me more of them. Please.
Because the first guy she got, Lord Dansbury.
But like, that's the thing. She still did what she had to do to make him feel valued, you know? Like, she also always was like, I got you. Like, she's a ride or die.
She's a ride or die bitch, you know?
Until he literally died.
Until he literally died.
And like, guys, it's not a spoiler. Like, the man's old.
Yeah, he was so old. And also, it's so funny because someone tweeted like the power of hair and makeup because he's like super handsome in real life, but they made him look fucking crazy.
Oh my gosh,
yeah,
I haven't
he's
seen
like a
him
very
in real
handsome
life.
Man. Yeah. They
I
make
have
him look,
to look
nuts.
I know.
In this show. But King George, I mean, the final scene, spoiler warning again, sorry, you know, but when they go under the bed.
No.
No. And like, you know, they're escaping the heavens together. And like, they
I'm literally gonna cry.
when they like talk about, you know, like that they're going to have an heir and like they just like go back and like you see the scene go back and forth between like young Charlotte and young George. Like, I wasn't okay.
I'm literally crying.
It was so emotional. It got me fucked
up. And how it kept flipping between them and they're smiling at each other.
I know. Like, I have chills.
Jesus Christ.
It was so powerful.
Am I okay? Oh my God.
We're not okay.
And like we haven't even gotten to Reynolds and Brimsley. Like, Brimsley.
No, dancing. Stop. Stop. You're going to make me cry again.
So Reynolds and Brimsley were like the king and queen's right-hand men. So Reynolds is the king's right-hand man and Brimsley is the queen's. And you see Brimsley in, like, again, OG Bridgerton, and he is the queen's right-hand man, always has been, and he's always five steps behind her, never leaves her side. And so when the king and queen come together, the two, like, right-hand men have time where they're waiting for them to have sex or argue or talk or whatever, and they run off, and they're in a relationship, and they're in love, and there's this one scene toward the end of the show where it's just like...
No.
It's just like the most beautiful cut from old.
And it's so unexpected. Yeah,
so unexpected from like the young Bridgerton, like the young Queen Charlotte story to like present day that we know in the Bridgerton era. And like, it is just something else. I'm literally sobbing as we're talking about this. Yes, they're the dancing scene.
And then like it flashes to now and like he's dancing by himself. Fucking Brimsley, like, I was not okay. And like, because you fall in love with him and like you realize, like,
I know, like, you fall in love with this, like, both love of story them. We're like making it rain tears.
It's truly. Oh my God.
Like, I've never experienced a show where it's like we're recapping it. I've literally seen it three times. I know what's going to happen. And I am trying to not sob uncontrollably right now.
Brimsley got us. You know, we got our hearts and minds.
Ugh, Brimsley really, really got us. And then when he's like, everyone serves the king, but I like serve the queen. Because she's like, you've never like had a family or blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh God.
I know. I hope we get another one where Shonda writes it again.
I know. Like, this was the thing that also was so difficult. Like, we're not going to get a season two of Queen Charlotte, you know? Like, that to me is, it makes me sad.
I know. I'm sad for us.
Like, so wait, who was your favorite George, right? What were the four? There's like King George, Farmer George.
Farmer George, Just George, right?
And there's one more, yeah. Like Astrology George or something. He loves
Astrology George. Like Scientist George.
Yes.
I gotta tell you, I really love Farmer George.
Mm-hmm.
Him out in that
and his
field,
element.
Just in his little garden, like just loving life, you know. I love that. Because like at first you really didn't know where the story was gonna take you when he was like in his little like astrology palace thing, his observatory.
Oh, yeah.
And you're I love. Is he like cheating on her?
Yeah,
and
like I love.
Like, is he gay?
Yes, exactly. I loved how they like unraveled that part of the story. And I think to your point about it being a lot about mental health, like as I'm crying, it was really, really tastefully done. In that, like, you know, she's like, "What's wrong with him? Is he cheating on me? He doesn't want me." So on and so forth. And it's like, no, he's just dealing with this internalized shame of his like mental illness, and at that time more than ever, like, he doesn't know how to acknowledge or deal with that, and then he wants to be better for his wife and then ultimately his baby, but it's like she doesn't care. And like I just loved that it was such a like current narrative and a very old story being told of like we all deal with this shit and how progressive of this queen, whether that's real or not, you know what I mean? But like in this storyline, how progressive that this person was like, no, I see that side of you. I stand by that side of you. And I love that side of you, whatever happens. Like it was just like, really, really tastefully done.
And loving him was a choice that she made.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't. And like, I just, no, I don't. Like, are we okay? Oh my God, we're not. Like, loving him was a choice. And you know, like I said earlier, like, he wasn't hurting anyone. He was happy. He was fine. He loved her. He treated her like a queen. And she was like, okay, so he likes to talk about Venus and like yes. the stars. Okay, that's fine.
It's fine. It's fine. Yeah. So to sum up, if you have not watched Queen Charlotte, please do. Please I do cannot me. Wait. I wonder, like, if this is the last thing I do want to ask you before we get into male or fail, but like, if they could do another origin story of another character on the show, who would you want it to be? Like, would you want to dive deeper into like Lady Danbury or Violet Bridgerton? Would you want somebody that we might not even like be thinking about in the context?
I kind of want like someone that we've seen maybe in the background, but like we mm-hmm. really don't know who they are.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need like more. I mean, of course, like I wouldn't complain if we got like a Lady Danbury type thing, but I feel like I want someone kind of maybe new.
It's time for our favorite game of Mail or Fail. One of these is a real headline from the Daily Mail or a similar publication, and the other has been completely made up by our producers. So will we spot the mail or will we fail?
Okay, so option number one. Let's try again. Meghan Markle is said to be planning a revamp to her podcast Archetypes after a year hiatus. Option number two, why the delay? Sarah Ferguson is yet to release her podcast despite teasing the first episode.
I mean, I gotta go number one.
Yeah.
Like, this is what Meghan does.
This is what they do. Let's see. Oh, no, we were wrong. So it's why the delay, Fergie. Sarah Ferguson is yet to release her podcast despite releasing
her podcast. She has a podcast coming? Episode. Our girl, vlogging queen.
She's booked and busy. She's Sheena Shea of the royal family. Like, she it's is new... going to get her coins.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Sarah Ferguson has yet to release. She continues to amaze me. Her new podcast, despite teasing the first episode, would be shared. A week ago, the Duchess of York shared an Instagram post on 15th of May confirming the first episode of Tea Talks with the Duchess and Sarah would be released days later. She explained it is a new weekly podcast about the highs and lows of everyday life and would see her taking on some of the biggest and strangest stories from around the world.
I can tell you what I don't need is I don't need Sarah Ferguson's takes on stories from around the world.
Everyday life.
Yeah, what is your everyday life? Sticking what? Up for Andrew? Get a fucking what? Grip.
I can't with this. I mean, am I intrigued and will I listen? Sure. Oh, look, she went off to share the hashtag, spill the tea on the post. No topic is off the table. No biscuit will remain undunked. Oh, my God.
My God.
I need this. She's now here, I wonder if the royal family is trying to pull the plug on this podcast because it sounds bonkers.
I mean, it sounds crazy, and I don't feel like they would ever approve of this.
No, there's no way.
There's no way.
We'll see. If she does release an episode, we will listen, and we will talk about it on here. Stay tuned.
Yeah, TBD on that, because it's why the delay. So to finish up, let's name our spotted dick for the episode. Who has been a real steamed pudding this week? Lex?
I mean, for me, it's the Dean and Canons of Windsor who are unwilling to repatriate Prince Alemayhu's body.
I agree.
It's just
I
like,
would say that as well. But just for the sake of it, no, that's it. that's the spot of dick.
We could argue the Daily Mail, but like, we already knew that.
Yeah, we already knew that. So that's it for this week's episode of Crown Jewels, you guys. Be sure to rate, review, and follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening now.
We'll have new episodes every single Thursday, so be sure to subscribe now so you don't miss our next episode. Tell all of your royally obsessed friends and follow me at Lex Nico.
And you can follow me at Bravo Historian. And until next time,
may God save the bitch.
Betches.